The year is 47 BCE. The boy is 16. He is not titled yet, not hailed as emperor, not known as Augustus, merely Caius Octavius. He is not crying. He is no barbarian, no Greek to give in to his feelings, to his fears. He waits, listening for a footfall, for a sound. He lies awake in the darkness. Not crying.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 10, August.
From the memoirs of Lysias the Little, written in the year 60, Common Era.
I am old now, and I no longer fear anything life could hold for me. I fear nothing save death, the great inevitable. And my death is not far distant. Thus the time has come in these memoirs for me to chronicle certain matters I know of. And I am the only one alive who knows them.
It is year 7, Common Era. Dawn breaks over Imperial Rome. Lysias, young and clean-shaven, walks through the deserted streets. Around him stand the imposing buildings of the heart of the Roman Empire. Lysias is in his 20s, an adult of not much more than 2 feet in height. He is comely in aspect and dressed in a tunic and toga. Under one arm, he carries a basket containing a jug and a bowl. Under his other arm is a bundle of what look like old rags. He arrives at the gate to the imperial residence.
Who goes there? Declare yourself.
It is I, Lysias the Little.
Show your authorization, Little Lysias.
Here, a signet ring from the Emperor himself. The things I write, I witnessed directly, or I was told, by our first Emperor, who was a man and is now a god.
Pass, Lysias.
Thank you. I speak of he who was born Caius Octavius, who later took the name Caius Julius Caesar Octavius. He who, later still, the whole of the world, Roman and barbarian, was to know as the Emperor Augustus.
Lysias walks through the entrance hall to the atrium at the center of Augustus's villa. The quadrangle is lined with pillars and open to the sun, with shrubs around the central fountain with its shallow pool.
Who is it?
The Emperor's wife, Livia, is striking to look at and a force to be reckoned with.
You? What foolishness brings you here?
Lady Livia, you're up early. I am here on the Emperor's orders.
Oh, yes, I was afraid of that. It seems there is no limit to the number of outcasts and undesirables he invites to the palace. What's your name again?
Lysias, ma'am.
Lysias.
Lysias the Little.
Anyone with eyes in their head can see that. Lysias, I know you. You're of noble birth, aren't you?
My parents are both from patrician families.
Their coupling must have offended the gods mightily if you were the result. Oh, well. You'll find him through there.
Oh. A moment, whoever you are.
The Emperor Augustus is in his 60s. A good-looking man, tall, powerful, and handsome. Beside the parchment roll he writes on is a breakfast of dried grapes and bread. His toga is plain, but for a purple border.
Ah, Lysias. Have you brought everything?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
They call it the Skuldrum Dodge, sir. You need to undress, though.
Oh. And, you actors learn this?
No, sir. This is from Persia, sir. A merchant showed it to me. Some of their beggars mutilate themselves to live. But a few do this instead, sir.
Please, lad. Not sir. Not today. Today, I must be Caius.
Yes. Caius.
What strange paste is in your pot?
This is soap. A mixture of bone and fat and ashes. The women use it to clean clothes in the river. But we smear it on our faces and arms. Like this. Take a handful. Spread it over yourself.
Oh, it smells foul, dwarf.
Lysias. If you are Caius, then I am Lysias. And beggars have never been renowned for their fragrance.
My apologies, Lysias.
There. It should dry quickly. Then we sprinkle on a bit of this. Close your eyes.
Oh, foul. It smells like vinegar.
It is vinegar. Now I sprinkle some on myself and see? The soap blisters. And to any passerby, your skin appears burned and ulcerated.
Oh, remarkable. Quicker than boiled asparagus.
Now we put on the old rags.
Well, at least they smell clean.
Well, are you ready, sir?
Caius, please, remember that today we are beggars together, friend Lysias. My eye patch, please.
A nice touch.
Now, let us see what the market has in store for us. Do beggars usually whistle so happily, Lysias?
Sorry.
It's early. The sun is low, but rising. Lysias and Augustus walk down the empty street together. A slave leading a laden donkey passes in the other direction. On either side stand imposing buildings with marble pillars and heroic statues.
That's a lovely temple.
The Temple of Avenging Mars? Indeed. How old are you, Lysias?
22, sir. Caius.
Ah, you will not remember Rome as it was when I was younger. I'm almost 70. The gods have given me long life. I paid for that temple, Lysias, as I built so much of Rome. And others followed my example. I found it in brick, and I have left it clad in finest marble.
There's some food in my pouch, Caius, if you're hungry.
I have eaten dried dates, a few raisins, a glass of watered wine. That will satisfy me until this evening. I seldom eat much.
Really? Gosh, I thought that, well, you'd eat lark's tongues and sow's udders. All that fancy stuff. I would if I were emperor. Then I'd go throw it up and be back again for more.
But you are not emperor, are you, Lysias? And until the sun sets tonight, neither am I.
The marketplace is just down here.
Did you not hear me say that I built most of this?
The stall holders are putting up their trestles. Try and stay upwind of the fish.
Will this do? We can sit upon these steps.
Yes, excellent.
Here's our bowl.
Ah, but you never put down an empty begging bowl, Caius. Put in a penny, and the others will follow it.
And this is something else you actors learn, eh?
Beggar's law. Not actors, Caius.
Actors? I don't like actors. It's a profession based on lies and disrespect. Pretending to be what you are not.
No. You haven't been good to actors, have you? You ban men of noble birth from the stage.
I let you remain on the stage, Lysias.
I'm the only one. And look at my size. What else am I going to do?
I see your point. Today, I need an actor. Today, I too am an actor.
Yes. Well, let's hope you do better than Pylades, eh?
Pylades was a dolt. He deserved his banishment.
He only gave the audience the finger when they hissed him. You didn't have to banish him. I've heard people be rude as shit to you. You didn't bat an eyelid.
I'm a man. I matter little. Pylades was disrespectful to Rome. He was lucky I didn't have him killed. Actors. Thank you, citizen. May the gods bless you and give you virtuous children.
It is now 9 in the morning, and the market is busy.
Buy my fish! Fresh caught today!
Oh, thank you, citizen. May the gods... Oh, he's gone.
Caius.
Yes?
Why are you doing this?
Hmm? Oh, I had a dream.
I once had a dream. That gold was buried beneath an olive tree on my father's estate. And I dug for a day, but found nothing.
Ah. Many dreams come through the gates of ivory, Lysias. And they lie. A few dreams come through the gates of horn. And they speak to us truly. Every spring I have terrible dreams. Evil, dark dreams. But they are lies. They are not true dreams.
They are all lies, surely.
Oh, but there are true dreams. My life was once saved in Philippi by a dream. Once the Capitoline Jupiter himself appeared to me in a dream. And then there was the dream that sent me here. If dream it was.
Once, I dreamed the divine Julius himself appeared to me on stage when I forgot my lines. We were appearing in Plautus' Menechmus, playing the twins. Can you believe that? No one could tell us apart. Julius Caesar. I wish I'd known him.
I knew him.
Well, of course you did. He was your father.
Adopted father, Lysias. He was my grandmother's brother. Her name was Julia. I first met him at her funeral.
In life, she gave the tenderest...
The boy is 12. His grandmother's pyre burns fiercely in the summer heat. He reads the oration with pride, pride in his lineage, pride in the Republic. The boy misses his grandmother. He does not cry. The man arrives late. The boy has never seen him before, but there is no mistaking him. Julius Caesar is 46 years old, tall and well-built, with keen, dark brown eyes. His hair is combed forward to conceal his increasing baldness. The man and the boy lock eyes, and young Augustus is enthralled.
Well spoken, boy.
His uncle, his hero, his god.
His eyes. That's what I remember. The first time. His eyes.
Family. It must be nice to have a proper family. Mine are sort of embarrassed by me. They're okay, in their way.
Family. The family is the foundation stone on which the empire is built.
I don't have any children. Or a wife. Probably never will.
I don't have children. I have running sores. A daughter who shamed me. My granddaughter, Julia. Her legs must have gaped for half of Rome, men and women.
Poor lepers.
Thank you, lady. May the gods send you many children.
Running sores.
Aren't you going to give him a coin, Marcus?
Why? If it is the god's will that he cannot work, then let the gods feed him and give him coins.
He'd piss himself if he knew who you really were.
Undoubtedly. but he had a point. We cannot defy the gods.
The gods?
I have three duties, Lysias. I'm head of the state, I'm head of the army, and I am the chief priest.
Sometimes I doubt that the gods exist. I have never seen one, except during my Eleusinian initiation, I thought I heard voices.
When we are initiated into the mysteries of Eleusis, we see and hear many strange things. No, the gods exist. I have seen them, and there are others who stand behind the gods, those whom even Jupiter must own his superiors.
Eh? Who could be greater than Jupiter, the greatest and most powerful?
Firstly, Terminus, the god of boundaries. Jupiter must bow to him. Boundaries are the most important of things, Lysias. And secondly, but I do not know who they are. They are whispered of in the inner mysteries, the seven, who are not prayed to, who are not gods, who were never men.
Your uncle's head is upon this coin. The divine Julius. He is now a god. I wonder what it's like being a god.
I will be a god when I die, Lysias. Already they begin to weave stories about me, presaging my divinity. They say my mother Attia fell asleep at the temple of Apollo, and a snake made its way into her womb and fertilized her.
And is it true?
Of course not. My mother was entered by nothing more remarkable than my father's penis.
When I was a boy, I prayed to Mercury of the physicians to make me taller. But I think my prayers were heard by Apollo, who gave me a powerful voice and a good memory and sent me to the stage.
It will be good to be dead, to be a god.
What do you think it will be like?
All my mistakes will be forgotten. All my crimes will be forgiven. Do you know how many men I have personally killed? How many deaths I have ordered?
No.
Neither do I. I lost count. Many, many years ago. I have done many evil things, but they were all to preserve Rome. And I will be a god.
What's the difference between that and what you've got now? I mean, you've got the power of life and death over what? 100 million people. Your rule extends from the stormy coasts of Gaul to the stinking deserts of Judea. Everybody loves you. Well, maybe not everybody, but... You're heaps better than chaos. You gave the army bounty. You gave the people cheap corn. You gave the whole empire blessed peace. You're practically a god already.
When I'm a god, I will no longer be scared.
The old man thinks on how many times he has awoken in the night, sweating and cold, listening to the silence, for one sick moment afraid that he has fallen back in time, is once more a quivering boy.
No! No! Please! No!
Not again.
In the darkness, fearing that the whole of his life since that black night has been nothing more than a fever's dream.
Storyteller! Here!
Shouting for a storyteller. There is always a storyteller waiting in the anteroom. The old man sleeps alone, but complete solitude scares him.
I'm here, Emperor. What tale would soothe you? Ah, I have it. Once upon a time, there was a great magician.
The gaudy tales of brass men and dragon's teeth will comfort Augustus, and a child again, he sleeps. Now it is noon in the marketplace, which has grown quieter. The two pustular, stinking beggars are sweating in the heat. The little one drinks from a wineskin.
Ah! Wine always helps. Here.
Thank you. Where are they all?
They've gone indoors. It's midday. Only mad dogs, Britons, and beggars stay out in this heat. Oh. How much have we made so far?
4 copper asses, a brass dubundius, rather badly clipped, and a cestertius. Probably counterfeit.
It's a good thing we aren't doing it for the money, then. Why are we doing it?
Later.
By 1 in the afternoon, the dust hangs low and choking in the heat of the almost deserted marketplace.
As I said, the first time I met him was at grandmother's funeral. I saw him next when I was 16. He was campaigning in Spain. He sent for me. Oh, I was so excited. In hindsight, the journey must have been a nightmare. But at the time, it was an adventure. A boy's story. I was still convalescing from illness. It was a chapter of disasters. First, we were shipwrecked. Then I was forced to fight my way across country held by the enemy. Just to be with him. He was my uncle, you see. He was the greatest man in the world. He was my hero. And he was Caesar. I spent some time with him in Spain. He was to have taken me on his next expedition. He planned to have me always by his side. But it was not to be.
Caesar, I commend to you this petition to recall my exiled brother.
Not now, Lucius. Where's Mark Antony?
Not here to help you this time.
What is this violence? Casca, you villain, what are you doing?
Help! Brothers, take him!
Brutus! You too, my son!
I went on to Apollonia to wait for him, and it was there that I heard he had been assassinated and had named me as his heir. I was 18, and I left that day for Rome to avenge him.
You must have loved him very much.
No, I hated him.
Ah.
What was it like, Lysias, in the days of the Republic? It was chaos held at bay by a handful of men. Cicero, for example.
The lawyer? My father's told me about him. He was a great man, wasn't he?
Yes. A fine mind. And an honorable man. The last of the giants.
Cicero? Whatever happened to him?
I had him killed.
Oh.
I'm not a vain man, Lysias.
I never said you were.
This name I have taken, Augustus. It was not taken from vanity, but from piety. Trusting that my reign would augur well for Rome.
You named this month after you, though. It used to be Sextilis. Now it's August. You did that.
And that will not last. In another decade, this month will probably be called Tiberius. We write our names in the sand, and then the waves roll in and wash them away. But we can leave things behind us. I am leaving an empire.
An apple? And it's fresh. God smile upon you, sir. All the stallholders give us is rotten fruit, and that brings the rats. Chew! Why aren't you king?
Names. Names. They offered Julius Caesar the crown, and he refused it. That's reason enough.
Boy! Mind where you're pissing?
Shut up, dwarf.
Kiss my ass. You were saying?
The Romans are a proud people. They would not permit themselves to be ruled by a king. So I call myself Imperator, Commander, and they follow me and obey me as they would a king. People fascinate me, Lysias. It is within my power to give them back a republic. I almost did, twice, when I was scared and weak. And it is within their power to take back all power from me. But they will not. Humanity. They follow leaders, queens or kings, chiefs or emperors. We tell them what to do, and they do it. We know no more than they, but still they follow us blindly. as people lost in the catacombs would follow a child carrying a flaming torch.
And what do you follow, then? You lead us to make us follow you and obey you.
We follow our dreams.
You, here, 5 asses.
Thank you, sir. That's very generous of you.
Once I was a slave, but I was freed in my master's will, and I took what I had saved and became a wine seller. The gods smiled upon me, and now I own 2 ships and have 50 slaves of my own.
Have you now?
We know not what tomorrow brings. And but for the whim of the goddess Fortuna, I myself might be sitting in the marketplace, begging for copper asses. No man knows the future. It behoves us all to walk with care.
I know the future. Or some of it.
From dreams?
No, from books. When Marcus Lepidus died, I took the office of chief priest. I ordered, brought to me, all the volumes of prophecy.
And?
I read them all. Then I ordered 2,000 of them burnt. The ones I left, I edited and had recopied. The prophecies were obscure, but not that obscure. There are 2 futures, you see. 2 ways that it can go. In one future, the Romans sputter and flare like Greek fire, last a few 100 years, and then are gone, eaten from outside by barbarians. From inside, by strange gods.
Oh.
In the other future, the whole world becomes a province of our empire. The eagle standard will be carried through lands we have barely dreamed of. There are nations beyond the sunset, where we will rule golden ziggurats, and nations to the south, where diamonds lie like robin's eggs upon the ground.
Right.
It will be a fine world, a great and glorious world, and that empire will last for 10,000 years, or more. The prophecies were quite clear on that. They were quite clear on what I had to do.
So let me get this straight. There are 2 futures, and you pick one of them from the prophecies and destroyed the others.
Yes. Yes, I did.
So no one else would know?
Caesar knew. Late at night, he would talk to me in Spain, tell me about his dreams. He was a big man, and his dreams for Rome were big.
Another rat, there, by you.
Are you scared of me?
Scared of you? Lord...
Don't call me that. When I first summoned you, told you what I needed today, that I would be spending a day disguised as a beggar, that you would be by my side. Weren't you scared?
No. Caius.
I'm an old man, but you should fear me. Not because I'm fast. And I am fast. And not because I'm strong. And I am strong.
Gods.
But because if I gave the word tonight, you would disappear. And no one would even dare to mention that you had ever existed. And no one would dare complain. Because the alternative to me is chaos.
All right. I'm scared of you. But I still want to know. What are you doing? Begging in the marketplace?
Because I had a dream.
Ah! Oh, no! Again!
Late one night I woke, as I have woken in the night many times in the past, and I called for a storyteller.
Storyteller! Here!
The man who came was new to me. His face as white as a corpse, his hair as black as his toga. A ruby hung at his throat, his eyes were dark marble with a pinpoint of light floating in each, and yet I felt I knew him. You! Tell me a story.
A story, Octavian? Very well. There was a child who loved and respected his uncle and who feared the gods. His uncle was a great general.
Go on.
The boy counted the days until he would be old enough to ride out, to follow his uncle to war. When he was 16, and in his own eyes already a man, the boy set off to be with his uncle, to learn the arts of conquest. And then, on his first night in his uncle's camp, weak from illness and excitement, the boy lay in his tent. But something bad happened to him that night.
No.
How dare you? Who are you?
I am here to tell you a story, Caius Octavius, because you wake every night screaming.
You're a god.
I am no god, but I am here as a favor to a god.
A favor?
All gods begin in my realm, Caius Octavius. They walk your world for a span, and when they are old, they return to my world to die.
This is a dream.
Of course it's a dream, Octavius.
Who are you, Raven?
When I was a man, I was Aristaeus of Marmora, but that was 700 years ago.
The poet who became Apollo's raven? Then you are Apollo. I pray you be not Apollo of the torments, but Apollo in some gentler aspect.
I am not Apollo. I am no sun god. But poets and dreamers are my people, and it is not unheard of for poets, dreamers, and gods to be confused. I am no little Roman dream god, no god of rhyme and madness. I am myself.
What will you? What do you want with me, Lord?
There is a way out of your dilemma, Octavius.
My dilemma?
Indeed. I do not do this for you, little emperor. I do it for another who has asked me to intercede on their behalf.
The divine Julius?
Terminus, he who walks the boundaries. He requested that I counsel a way out of your difficulties.
Do they know then? The gods?
Terminus knows.
Terminus?
You labor under a heavy burden. While you are emperor of Rome, the gods of Rome watch you. And you fear the gods, don't you?
Yes.
But you have plans, Augustus. Plans you do not wish the gods of Rome to know.
Yes.
So, for a day in every year, do not be emperor.
What? But how?
Be a beggar, Augustus. Go to the marketplace and beg for coppers. Plan your course on that day when the gods will not be watching.
And then I awoke.
I don't understand. Some man in your dreams told you to come and beg in the marketplace because the gods can't see you thinking. Here.
I believe that's what he was telling me, yes.
And you've been with me here today. What? To think?
Yes.
I don't understand. Which god are you so afraid of?
The divine Julius. My life has been spent following the path he laid out for me. He groomed me for this. He knew of the prophecies. He knew what Rome could become, and he told me, step by step, what I had to do. How I could amass enough personal power to do whatever I needed.
Oh.
Look around you, Lysias. Prosperity, peace, stable government, enough grain to fill every belly in the empire. I have done everything he wanted. I have done everything. Come. Don't forget the bowl.
No, indeed. So what have you decided then?
It's a matter of boundaries. Observe, our empire, my empire, is based on military conquest. As long as new countries are being conquered, as long as the legions have new territories to conquer, then Rome will live.
So?
Terminus is the only god to whom even Jupiter must bow. Ah,
Here we are. My home. Goodbye, Lysias the Little. We will never speak to each other again. You will not tell anyone of this day or of our talk. Keep the coins.
Goodbye, Augustus Caesar.
Hail, Caesar.
I'm going to sleep. Have a storyteller ready.
Yes, Caesar.
You there, what are you doing in the palace grounds?
Going to bed, wife of mine.
By Castor, is that Augustus under the muck? What have you done to yourself? Are you sick?
No, I'm tired, and I need to wash.
Are you hungry?
Not very.
Would you like me to prepare you something? A dish of figs, perhaps?
No, thank you. Not tonight.
Very well. I'll save them for another time.
So, today I was the actor. Or perhaps today I did not have to act. Oh.
The year is 47 BCE. The boy is 16. He sleeps in his own tent. He is tired and he is ill. His uncle comes to his tent in the darkness. His uncle is a great man. The boy is taken brutally, harshly, there in the night. He offers no resistance.
Please.
His uncle is pleased with him.
Do what I say, and I will adopt you as my son. Do what I say, and you will rule when I am gone. Do what I say, and the world will be yours.
The boy does what he is told. He lies awake in the darkness, night after night, waiting for his uncle, waiting for the pain. And never crying. From the memoirs of Lysias the Little, year 60, Common Era.
That, then, is a true account of the day I spent with the Emperor of Rome, in the month that still bears his name. I passed him in the market, 2 years later, to the day, and I tossed him a coin, and he smiled at me. I am an old man now, and Augustus Caesar has been dead for almost 50 years. But since that day, I have wondered, turning the question over and over in my mind. What could he have been afraid of? And what was he trying to do?
Lysias is sitting at his low table, with a lamp burning, a roll of parchment before him. Opposite the lamp is a small bronze statue.
Augustus's will set the bounds of the empire, forbade any further expansion. And in his will, Augustus also appointed Tiberius as his successor, our divine rulers. Have since then been successively mad, evil, foolish, and now all three. Perhaps he achieved his goal. Perhaps not. But still, I persist in wondering, what was Augustus afraid of? Why did he wake in the night, screaming?
He looks at the statue. It is of a noble Roman clad only in a toga, holding a spear. It is unmistakably Augustus.
Why was he angry? Why was he scared? I do not know his secret. And Augustus has taken it with him to Olympus or to the grave.